Track 5, The Language of Divorce. On the last track, we discussed children and divorce after violence. This included explaining the violence to the children, maintaining connection after the abuser has left, getting back to a normal relationship with the abuser, and life without the abuser. Shifting away from the topic of an abusive spouse, do you have a client who feels uncomfortable using the term ex with their children? Does he or she feel that using that word ex-husband or ex-wife solely defines him or her in terms of a past relationship? What suggestions do you make? On this track, we will discuss the language of divorce. This will include the language of victim and survivor, old versus new language, and co-parenting language. As you listen, think of your client. Do they have language issues with their children following the separation? Sean, age 43, had been divorced for a year and had a 10-year-old daughter, Zoe. Sean stated, "My little girl came home the other day from school crying and asked me if her home was broken. Apparently she has a project at school that involves making a family tree. I guess Zoe asked her teacher about it, since her family tree would require more than just a single tree trunk to accommodate the new half-siblings and step-siblings, etc. Apparently her teacher used the term broken home and victim of divorce with Zoe, and that prompted her to ask me that question. When she asked me that, I flew into a rage. I want my daughter to have a strong sense of self, but how can she if she's going to be constantly labeled as being from a broken home? I mean, I'm sure Zoe is bound for a much better life now than she was before, with her mother and I arguing all the time. But I don't want her to be suffering at school just because she's a survivor of divorce." I stated, "As you have clearly experienced, words are powerful tools. Language like broken home is often used in a negative context, seeming to explain or validate a flaw in a child or parent's behavior. I would suggest changing the language you use about divorce at home and in turn asking Zoe's teacher to do the same." Regarding victim and survivor labels, I continued to state, "What you call yourself and what others call you can greatly influence who you become. For example, the term victim of divorce, which you mentioned earlier, can keep you and Zoe feeling victimized, helpless, and despairing. Just using those words over and over again can lead a person to believe that his or her future can be seen only in reference to the divorce." Sean stated, "That reminds me of how my mother dealt with her divorce. She was always talking about how much of a victim she was, and it eventually led to a drinking problem. I didn't want to use that excuse when I got my divorce, so I used survivor instead. I got this term from my support group." I stated, "Both terms, victim and survivor, are labels, and they can filter future events through the event of the divorce." Sean stated, "I suppose I don't need to define myself at all with terms like that. I would definitely call myself a father before I would call myself a divorcee. What alternative language would you suggest when talking about our family?" Do you need to make a point with your client not to label him or herself by the divorce? Regarding old versus new language, I stated, "A change in language can also help you move on to a life that acknowledges the divorce as part of your past, but refuses to let it put a hold on the present or the future. A recent term relating to families that span two households is binuclear family. Whatever you and Zoe decide to call your two-home family, you can choose a term that is positive, realistic, and meaningful for both of you." Sean asked, "What other terms would you use for, say, joint custody?" I stated, "Joint custody might be replaced by co-parenting, shared parenting, or shared responsibility. It's up to you which term feels best." In addition to victim and survivor language, a discussion of old versus new language, we talked about co-parenting language. Sean stated, "I suppose changing language can make a difference with legal labels as well." I stated, "Yes, especially in the tone that is set for co-parenting. The terms having custody and visitation tend to set up a winner-loser scenario." I added, "And to say that one parent won custody and the other has visitation rights tends to place more value on one parent's contributions than the other's." Sean stated, "God knows I don't want to spend the next 8 years just visiting my daughter." I stated, "An alternative way to talk about it might be to say Zoe will live with her dad every Thursday beginning at 5 p.m. through the following Monday at school time. the remainder of the time she will live with her mother, etc. This can help illustrate how both parents, in this case, play vital roles in how you parent Zoe. It's a joint responsibility instead of joint custody. It's not a 50-50 split either. Both you and Zoe's mother can recognize that your contributions are important, and both of you are willing to work together to make both contributions meaningful and functional. Several weeks later, Sean came back and related a story to me regarding his daughter's family tree project. Sean stated, Zoe had two different family trees, and they were colored and pasted together, and she presented it as Zoe's family forest to her class. Zoe said that the other children asked the teacher if they could revise their projects after that to reflect more about their families. Apparently, kids were coming in with pet family trees, and a few others came from binuclear families like Zoe's. She doesn't feel so alone anymore. Do you have a Sean who feels defined by his or her past divorce? Might he or she benefit from hearing this track? On this track, we've discussed the language of divorce. This included the language of victim and survivor, old versus new language, and co-parenting language. On the next track, we will discuss setting priorities in divorce disputes. This will include discerning what is right and wrong, acting on what you have discerned, and saying openly that you are acting on your understanding of right and wrong. Question 5. What terms might be used to replace visitation and custody?